Right, greetings, everyone. Welcome in. It's Better's Last Stand, show number 118, coming to you from the Watchdog Studios in the Pine Room office of downtown Wheeling here on a, I don't know what the weather's like here on a Friday. It's up and down. It's been warm. It's been cold. It's been warm. It's been cold. We have winter weather advisories going on when it's 50 degrees outside. So each minute it seems to change, and we'll go with that right now. So the ever-changing landscape that we have going on in the weather around the Ohio Valley over the last couple of weeks. So hopefully you're getting ready to enjoy a nice weekend with family and friends, maybe have a few drinks, get ready to watch the Super Bowl. Got lots of other things to talk about, too, as we lead up to the big game on Sunday here. But thanks again for joining us. It's show number 118 here from Better's Last Stand, and hard to believe, another Super Bowl getting ready to go in the books for us here on the Watchdog Network. A couple of reminders going on. We got the OVAC girls action right here on the Watchdog all weekend long. You want to tune in all day Saturday. We have every game. So from the, I don't know if the first game's 11, if it's whatever it is, 10, 12, 2, 4, 6, if that goes like that, whatever it is, we got them all right here on the Watchdog and the Watchdog Network. So tune in to watchdognetwork.com. Be able to have your stream ready to go because WVU also plays tomorrow. So be ready. Have that watchdog.com app or Watchdog Network app ready for you. The link that you can get on your phone, it takes you right to the watchdognetwork.com, and you can load up the player and stream it. Or actually, you can Bluetooth it to your car, your home stereo, your Alexa, whatever it is, whatever device you need to listen to it on if you're out and about. Or if you're at home, be sure and tune in. OVAC girls action all day long from over at OUE. And I believe Central was the nightcap. And, yeah, should be a wonderful weekend. Coach Heinerman and Ross on the call for some of those games, as well as Soup Jarrett and a couple of the other Pine Room fellas over the course of the five games from Class A through 5A of the OVAC. So, good luck with that to all the teams in the local area. Hope everybody has a good performance and it's a good event over there. I'm sure it is, as it will build up for the Super Bowl on Sunday. So get your basketball action out of the way on Saturday, and it's football on Sunday. All right, let's get into it here on the Watchdog Network here on a Friday afternoon. Let's get into what we did last week. So last week, again, these weeks aren't as good as I would have hoped for, but we'll take it. We were up 25.30 units on the week. Just recapping, obviously no NFL last week. 17-18-1 overall in our NFL plays in the playoffs. 48-35-1, 57% in the NFL over the last month. Those include some sides and props as well. College hoops, we were 8-5 last week. NHL, we were 1-1. EPL last week, not great. 8-7-1. But we were up 3.75 units, mostly because of Crystal Palace coming through for us at a plus 360 clip there. So not our best week of the EPL. Had a couple games, tough ones go against us, but that's okay. It's the way it goes. Nonetheless, we're really, really hot in the English Premier League in the soccer action. 69-43-3, 61% over the last month, 50.95 units to the good there. Golf, we had a major bounce back. We were abysmal 2 weeks ago, and I'm gonna be the first to say, if I was you, I would never listen to my golf picks again. But like I mentioned last week, the caveat is you can be bad at golf, you can be bad at NASCAR, you can be bad at horse racing for 10 out of 11 races or 10 weeks in a row or whatever, what have you, whatever the segment of time is. But all you need is one to redeem yourself. And we didn't quite get there with the Justin Rose 150-1 to win the tournament outright, but he did finish in the top three, and he led us to a plus 19.15 units in golf last week. Justin Rose finishing third at a wonderful price again. He was 150-1 to win it. Couldn't quite outduel Rory McIlroy. Had a couple of tough breaks, couple of rim outs on the back nine, which really hurt. I thought maybe we could have got to a playoff, and I would have liked Rose in the match play format, as McIlroy's a front runner, and if you put any pressure on him, he usually falls apart. But he gets the job done. He holds on to another win in a non-major, so we'll see if he can continue to lose in majors, which I expect him to. We'll be fading him in all the major tournaments. And four out of our six, we're in the top 20 and two top 10. So we had a pretty good run there. The Justin Rose top 10 and top 20s paid very, very well. And that led us to a solid week. So up 25.3 units on the week, up 50.95 in EPL over the last month, up 19.15 in golf last week. And again, that didn't get it all back from the week before, so we got to work on that. But we were close. We were beating around the bush there with 150-1 play. And whenever you got a guy in contention there and you have him, layered or stacked, however you want to call it, where you play him at the win, top 10, top 20, top fives, even top threes, you could have even got better prices on those. So I just recommend, I usually play my golf, split them into threes. Sometimes I'll go with top fives as well when you're dealing with a guy like Scottie Scheffler, where the value would be on top five over a top 10, which we don't give him out very often, because if you want to just pick him every week, you're gonna tread water. But if he doesn't play well, you're giving up something too. So not the value there on Scheffler, but he is the clear cut number one guy in the world right now. So we'll try to improve on last week's numbers. And as long as we're in the green and we're turning a little bit of a profit, or in the black, however you want to look at it from an accounting standpoint, as long as we're not in the red, we'll take it here on Bettors Last Stand. All right, let's get through a few other things going on right now. NBA trade deadline going on right now. Last few trades coming through. Jimmy Butler to the Warriors. You got a lot of things shaping up here. I just wanted to point this out because I think it's a glaring mistake by bookmakers, but I understand it because you're going to have a sentiment that the Lakers are now a contender, which they absolutely are not. So you had LA after the Luka Doncic trade, which if you haven't heard about that, you've probably been living in a cave or you've been on another planet. Doncic and a couple other things going to LA, and then LA sends back Anthony Davis and a few other pieces to Dallas. Shocked everybody, shocked the basketball world, shocked the sports world. 20 under 30, few years under 30, prime superstar in Doncic. You send him out. Davis getting a little bit old, a little bit beat up. He's hurt a lot, but still a really good player. So a very interesting switch of spaces there for those two guys. It turned the basketball world upside down. I myself thought it was a joke when I first saw it. But, you know, it makes a little bit of sense from a standpoint of winning now for Dallas. But back to my point, LA from 33-1 to win it all down to 16-1. I don't think this is going to be as easy as everybody thinks. LeBron's not an easy guy to play with. Luka needs the ball in his hand all the time. I don't like this at all. I'd be fading the Lakers heavily coming in the next, you know, half a year here, full season even. I would wait. I don't think the Lakers are really a title contender until LeBron leaves and Luka can kind of just be the guy and not all the distractions, and they bring some pieces in around him. So a good move from that perspective from LA to get their long-term superstar once LeBum is gone. And from a Dallas perspective, basically they better win the championship in the next 2 years, because they are now not set up for a long run of future success. So I do think it makes Dallas a little bit better right now. So I think Dallas going from 25-1 to 33-1 is completely backwards. I would take the shot. You can find some 40s out there at Dallas. I would be more inclined to take a shot with Dallas at 40-1 than the Lakers at 16. I think Dallas is much better. Kyrie and Davis is going to be a formidable pair, and you got a couple other pieces that go along with that. So I think Dallas will be decent. I think they'll have a shot of making it to the Western Conference Finals, but we shall see. If it doesn't pay off for them immediately, they're probably going to really regret that trade down the road. But I don't think it's as crazy as everybody thinks, at least in the short term. Long term, they should have got 4 or 5 first-round picks for him minimum. So they really, really got fleeced from that perspective. But that's enough NBA talk. I don't want to talk about it. It's ridiculous. So I had a revelation last weekend when I watched a decent amount of college basketball, and it's pretty clear to me that it's basically down to about 4 or 5 teams that can win the tournament. I really truly think that. Like last year, everybody said UConn for sure. In the last 2 years, and UConn did it. And you know, you take shots with teams, and you try to find some value on some underdog teams, or maybe somebody gets an injury, or somebody has an easier region, and they can come out of it. But I don't see any massive upsets. I don't think you're going to see a situation where you're going to be finding San Diego State, FAU, and Miami type teams in the Final Four, at least not this season. Now, there could be a surprise team. I'm not saying there wouldn't be one, maybe two teams that possibly could get into the Final Four, but to me, I have this broken down, and I actually probably can knock this down to 2 teams right now. I have the utmost confidence in Auburn and Duke. Now, Auburn last year was a team that I was pretty high on, and they got beaten the first day by, I believe, Yale. So these things can happen if you get a matchup of a team that's very senior heavy and a very cerebral thinking team, and they have a good strategy, then maybe. But man, right now to me, Auburn and Duke stand alone as the very two best teams. Even Houston had a hiccup this week. I watched them play. They're deficient on offense once again. They got a good defense. They're deficient on offense. If they don't make shots, they're incredibly beatable. I know that's easier said than done because you have to score on them too. And I'm not saying that Houston can't get hot, but I watch them. I'm about to eliminate them, but they would be in the five. If I had five teams that I thought had a chance to win it all, it'd be Houston and Alabama fringe. And then I honestly would take Florida over Iowa State or Tennessee. A few weeks ago, I was pretty high on Iowa State. But, man, they've shown me that they have trouble scoring sometimes too. So I'm a little bit worried about Iowa State. I think they're a good team. But this is down to just a few teams. Kansas can't win at all. No chance in hell. Tennessee, no offense. They can't do it. Texas Tech, no chance. Michigan State, we were high on them. They go out west. They lose too. Not sure they're good enough. We had a ticket on them. We gave that out last week to make the Final Four. I can already assure you that UConn has no prayer. The one team that I will say that could be a spoiler here is St. John's. They continue to get better. They're battle-tested in close games. They've come from behind a lot. Rick Pitino's a really good coach. I would say if there's anything there for a team that would be deeper that can maybe make the Final Four, we talked about them last week. I thought they were a good value to make a good run to win the Big East, to maybe make it to the Final Four. But they're at 40-1. Kentucky, they're not good enough to do it. Purdue, obviously not. Arizona, I don't believe in. And then you're just down to Texas A&M, Michigan. If you watch these teams play, if you watch Creighton and Marquette, I think these teams are so far below an Auburn or a Duke, like immensely. And even in Alabama. If Alabama's, shooting the ball well from the outside, they're really good. But this is really down to Auburn, Duke, maybe Houston, maybe Alabama, maybe Iowa State, and Florida would probably be in the next team that I – possible stretches to Michigan State and St. John's. But if you're thinking that some team like Maryland or Louisville or Missouri or Gonzaga or Illinois, I think, has a good future. That freshman they have is really good, but I don't think they can get the job done. They're just not good enough yet. The SEC's got a lot of good teams. I think Ole Miss was a team that I thought maybe could get hot, but after watching them play, I mean, they beat around Kentucky pretty good the other night. I just don't know if they have the horses to do it. I maybe could make a stretch to them and maybe make the Elite Eight, but this to me looks like Duke or Auburn right now to win it all. I just see those two teams being a cut above every single person, or every other team, that is. And I'm not a Duke guy. You guys know I don't like Duke at all, and for me to give them credit hurts a little bit. But that's my observations on college hoops. I do have a few plays on college hoops, which I don't normally have. But and these, I don't have numbers on these, so I'm just guessing on some of this. So Saturday college basketball action, I'm going to go with Georgetown minus the points. We're going to go with Kentucky minus the points. Vanderbilt money line. We're going with the Manhattan Jaspers minus the points. Canisius and Merrimack under the total. Missouri minus the points. Illinois minus the points. BYU money line. Jacksonville minus the points, and LSU plus the points at home. Those are plays in college basketball. I'll have those up at BLS_PRP, so you can check those out for more. And if I have any amendments, or if the number that is posted tomorrow is not sufficient for what I would play this at, then I'll make a notation on BLS_PRP and say to get off of the play. Golf is underway right now. The Waste Management, it's going on, and an exciting tournament. And again, BLS_PRP is where you want to go for Wednesday plays, for the early Thursday morning golf tee times. When we record the show on Wednesday or Thursday, obviously the golf's either started or it's up against it. By the time we get the show out released for the radio, it's already Friday, and you're at least a round in, maybe partially two rounds in. But this week we went with a few guys. Now, there was a lot of talk about Scottie Scheffler here, and, he's less than three and a half to one. He just can't play a guy like that. Justin Thomas, I know, is getting a lot of steam early. Jordan Spieth, even, people still going back to the well with him. And I respect all those plays. Like, I get it. But the value's just not there on these guys. Now, three guys that I thought were interesting that got a lot of recommendations. I put them on here just because. But I don't like stealing other people's picks just solely if I didn't like these guys. And I really didn't have any of these guys on my radar, these three players. But I'll mention them anyway. Maverick McNealy at 55-1. Sam Burns at 25-1. And Kurt Kitayama at 50-1. I wasn't on any of those guys originally. I added them to mine from some pretty astute golf handicappers that I heard tipping them. So I decided I'll pass those along. If the weekend, if these guys are in play, maybe they're worth a peek. Again, BLS underscore PRP. You can get my golf plays every single Wednesday evening or Thursday morning, depending on if it's out west or on the East Coast. As it starts to move back to the East, I'll be sure and get those up on Wednesday for everybody. Guys I focused in on were the following. Hideki Matsuyama, 16-1 for him. Sahith Theegala, 35-1. I like Billy Horschel, has been playing pretty good golf right now. He's 66-1, at least pre-tournament he was 66-1. And then a couple other guys that were a little bit more under the radar, a little more of a value play. Cameron Young, 60-1. Sam Stevens, he's a young guy. I like the way this guy's playing so far. He's looking sharp to me. Could be a guy that could be a contender down the road. So I thought he was interesting at 80-1. Minwoo Lee, Chris's boy, 66-1 on him. And then Jake Knapp on 150-1. This guy's a good player. He's going to end up winning at some point. I think Jake Knapp, a definite contender this week at the Waste Management. Nick Taylor, 55-1 also. He's been a really good player. He won last year, and he was second in 2023. So can he continue that good run of fortune? I don't know. But we shall see. Those were my golf plays for the Waste Management Phoenix Open, which will lead you right up to the Super Bowl. Usually gets done right around that. It's not on Super Bowl's on Fox this year, so you won't have it coming up against it, and I'll have to move the golf channel. So it will be on over on CBS. It'll give you something good to watch right up to the kickoff of the Super Bowl. A couple years ago, we had a playoff, so you literally had sports action. You know, sports usually stops about 2, 3 o'clock on that day, so you have about 3 hours of having to listen to these boneheads talk about the game, which they've already been doing for 2 weeks. But now you don't have to worry about that. You can watch the Waste Management, and it'll take you right up to the kickoff of the Chiefs and the Eagles. All right, moving along here on Bettors Last Stand, show number 118 here on the Watchdog Network. Hope you're having a great Friday. Hope you have a great weekend. OVAC hoops all day long tomorrow. WVU hoops tomorrow as well. The guys and the girls in action. WatchdogNetwork.com is where you want to be for all that basketball action before Sunday's Super Bowl. Hopefully you have a nice party to go to or something cool like that. A little bit of a look ahead here for racing. Last week, we had the Clash, which used to be called the Busch Clash, and it was at Bowman Gray Stadium. It was in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. I had no idea about that track at all. It was a 0.25-mile track. I couldn't give any plays. I literally had nothing. I was going in blind. I didn't know anything about reputation. So I watched the practice and the qualifying on Saturday evening and had a little bit of an idea of maybe some guys that I wanted to take a shot with. Ended up going with Ryan Blaney, and man, he finished second to Chase Elliott, who was really good. Chase Elliott had a really good car. Ryan Blaney came from last in the final segment to push Elliott as hard as he could, but he basically drove his tires into nothing, having to come up through the field. But a good run. It was good to have NASCAR back. It was a pretty good setting there at Bowman Gray down there in Winston-Salem. People really enjoyed it. It's a small town track, you know, right outside of Winston-Salem. People came out in droves to watch it, so it seems like a really cool thing. Get the appetite wet for NASCAR here in just just a little bit over a week now. It'll be a week from the Super Bowl. We have the Daytona 500, and it's never too early to start to try to get a little bit of value. You got some new teams in here. You got some guys that are retired. You have some different faces in different cars. So I took a look, and as you know, Daytona, you can always find a little bit of value here, and you don't want to play the favorites here. You just don't. You have a favorite installed right now. I believe Denny Hamlin, Joey Logano, 11-1. Chase Elliott also 11-1. They're kind of co-favored, but you're not getting great value on a race that anybody can win. I mean, you had Ricky Stenhouse win a couple years ago. You had William Byron, who won last year. You've had a lot of under-the-radar winners. Michael McDowell a few years ago. So take a shot with somebody at a price. Ryan Preece, he always catches my eye. He's my new Eric Almirola. He's 50-1. He's in a much better car this year on a good team, the RFK team. I think Ryan Preece has a really good chance in this race at 50-1. So he's a guy that I already bet. Chris Bell, I thought his price was a little bit interesting. He led 22 laps last year. He's raced very well here at Daytona's last two times. Not really known for a super speedway racer yet, as he continues to widen his arsenal. He's really good at a lot of other types of tracks, but he's starting to get better here. 21-1 on him, I thought was a little bit of value there for him. So Chris Bell will be a guy that I'll be having. Noah Gragson, again, he's in a better car this year. He's around 49, 48-1, something like that. A little bit worried about his maturity level. He kind of, I don't know how he handles pressure very well yet. I think he's very talented, but I'm not sure about him. So we'll take a shot with him. Todd Gilliland, who was really good last year, had led several laps and was really strong, ended up getting collected in a wreck. He's at like 80-1, and I don't think that's fair either. I would not be shocked at all if Todd Gilliland were to win that race at 80-1. Justin Haley down to 30-1. He's in a better car this year. Usually you get Justin Haley around 50 or 60-1, but 30-1 tells me that they think his equipment's pretty strong. And a couple other guys I think getting ignored, the top tier guys. Alex Bowman, very, 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 very good car last year. Could have had a shot of winning it. Finished second to his teammate William Byron. He's around 30-1. And Chris Buescher, 25-1. He's been great here at Daytona. He's won the summer race at Daytona. So I would say take a shot with him. Ty Dillon's another long shot. Very good plate racer, 35-1. That's a little short for me. And then Ricky Stenhouse, he's a two-time defending champion ago. Not last year, but the year before that he won it. Ricky Stenhouse in around 30. So those are some names to keep an eye on. We'll talk further about NASCAR next week and about the Daytona 500, as I'm very excited to have NASCAR here coming in the coming weeks. And then we have just a full slate of NASCAR. It's pretty much full every week in NASCAR for till fall, with a couple of weeks off and a couple Saturday races in there, things like that. But it's good to have NASCAR back. It was good to see the clashing. I can't wait for Daytona. Let's shift over to hockey now. So hockey, well, we're getting ready to take a pause here in a couple of days for the Four Nations Face-Off, which is a tournament. It's going to be the United States, Canada, Sweden, and Finland. Now, it's kind of outrageous, and I'll talk more about who I like in this in a second, but it's kind of ridiculous that you're going to try to say these are like the top countries in the world, their best rosters and all that stuff. I mean, you're not including Russia. You're not including Czechia, and you're not including the Slovaks even to an extent. It's not fair. It's not really indicative of who the best teams are. Obviously, USA, Canada, highly touted. Sweden, outstanding in international tournaments over the years. Finland is the team that's gaining on everybody, as they have a basically a feeder system in their country right now that is building these kids to be able to be really good, not only NHL players, but really, really good Finnish national team players. So great system in play there. They have a lot of chemistry there on Finland. So I'll talk a little bit about that. Let's go through some of the NHL numbers, and then we'll get into the Four Nations Face-Off, which begins on Wednesday of next week. NHL will pause on Sunday. So you got games through Sunday, and then there's going to be a pause for about 13 days while they play this Four Nations Face-Off. NHL period data here over to recent 10-game stretches. The Chicago Blackhawks, first period overs, they're 8-2, so that's 80% they've been hitting at over the last 10 games. 9-1 for the Edmonton Oilers, 8-2 for Montreal, and 8-2 for the Dallas Stars. Goal in the first 10 minutes, St. Louis Blues, 8-2, Toronto Maple Leafs, 9-1, and the Chicago Blackhawks, 8-2. Those all strong trends for the first period, the first period overs, and the goal in the first 10 minutes. Second period overs, Buffalo Sabres. How about this one? They're on a 10-0 run. Second period over 1.5 for the Sabres. They've been playing very good hockey. And it's nice to see our boy Tage Thompson, who we have a goal-scoring future on, lighting it up for the Sabres as they're playing very well right now. Montreal also playing pretty pesky. They're 9-1 to the over in the second period over the last 10. Tampa Bay 8-2. San Jose and Edmonton each 7-3 on their second period overs in the last 10 games. Third period overs, these are strongest trends for the season so far. Columbus 41-12 to the over on the season, 7-3 run for them in the third period. Winnipeg 40-14 on the year, 7-3 run to the third period over for them. The Pittsburgh Penguins 40-14 on the year as well, 7-3 run for them in the last 10 on their third period overs. Nailers slumping a tad, dropped 2 out of 3 over the weekend. Tough series. They led 2-0 to Toledo, let that one get away. They're second in the North right now. They'll be in Indy tonight on the road, and then back home at West Banco Arena tomorrow for Pittsburgh Penguins night, featuring Kevin Stevens, the two-time Stanley Cup champion for the Pittsburgh Penguins. So if you have a fond memory of Kevin Stevens, as I do, being a Penguin fan, and that was in the era where the Penguins were just starting to dominate the hockey world. It was a really, really fun time in 91, 92. Not so fun in 93, but great, great stuff there. Great memories. And go on out. Check out the Nailers. They take on the Reading Royals that night for Pittsburgh Penguin night. Should be a fun, fun night over at West Banco Arena. All right. So the Four Nations Face-Off. As I mentioned, it's a tournament it's a round robin tournament. So what you're going to do, you got four teams in it. It's only, only four teams. They each play each other one time. Top two teams will advance to the championship game. And the United States, obviously a co-favorite with Canada, each of them plus 175 to win this tournament. Sweden at plus 370. And then the Finns, the longest shot, at plus 650. The rosters have kind of been finalized. Kind of have an idea of who might play with who as far as the line combinations go. But you don't know how things are going to turn out here. You don't know which teams are going to be. I think everybody will take this seriously, but you just don't know which teams are going to come together the quickest and gel the fastest. And that's the key to the whole tournament. When you're playing in such a short tournament here, you don't have a whole lot of time to feel each other out. This isn't even like the Olympics or any of the big national tournaments where or international tournaments where you're having a pool play and then you're getting into the quarterfinals and knockout stages where you're still playing lesser teams where you have time. By the time you're getting back to face a Canada or a Sweden again, if you're in the United States, you've played five or six games and you're feeling, okay, we're starting to get our legs under us. We're starting to get our momentum. We're starting to see which lines work the best. We're starting to figure out our power play. We have our goaltending settled. You don't have any time for that now. You're basically, it's literally like a roulette. It's like roulette. It's like Keno. You're just picking numbers, and hopefully you pick the right ones, because if you don't, you cannot afford to give away points in this. It will go very, very quickly, and I'm curious to see. So that, to me, makes the playing field a little bit more level. So I think a team like Finland is going to be a little bit more of a difficult out in this tournament than people would think. So going through these teams and seeing what we have here, firepower-wise, there's no doubt about it. The United States and the Canadians, by far, they have the best two teams as far as pure scores and just goal-scoring potential. You have the Sidney Crosby, Connor McDavid, Nathan MacKinnon. That's the expected top line for Canada. Then you have Sam Reinhart, Brad Marchand, and Mitch Marner, and Brandon Hagel, Braden Point, and Mark Stone. That's your third line for Canada. Pretty good. Sam Bennett, Anthony Cirelli, and Travis Konecny. Those are the lines for Canada. And then you got Cale Makar and Devin Toews and Jay Theodore and Corton Parenko and Morrissey and Sanheim. I'm not wild about the defensemen other than the top pairing there, to be honest with you. I think Shea Theodore's a pretty good player, and Pareko's got a great slap shot. But Canada's got a lot of questions about goaltending, a massive amount of questions. Aiden Hill, Jordan Binnington, and like, who's it going to be? I don't know, and that, to me, makes them very, very vulnerable. And I think the United States is better than them. And I'm not certain that either Sweden or Finland cannot beat them either. I think they can. But to the USA, JT Miller, Jack Eichel, Matt Tkachuk, that's the expected top line. Kyle Connor, who I'm very high on. Austin Matthews, Jack Hughes, that's your second line. Jake Gensel, Dylan Larkin, Brady Tkachuk, your third line. Brock Nelson, Vince Trocheck, who's basically a top line centerman for the Rangers, and Matt Boldy is your third line. So pretty strong. Defensemen, I don't know. I think the defense actually for the United States is better with Quinn Hughes, Charlie McAvoy, Jacob Slavin, Adam Fox, Zach Werenski, Brock Faber. I lean that the United States has better depth. And Noah Hanifin, who I'm very high on, he's their seventh guy. I actually think he should be in there for sure. I think the USA has a better top-to-bottom team. My question for the USA is, how will they gel together, and will their goaltending hold up? Now, Connor Hellebuyck is a Vezina Trophy winner. He's probably going to win it again this year. He was great in the regular season last year. But when the playoffs came, the guy fell apart. He absolutely melted down against Colorado last year. If you remember that, it was disturbing. And this is a big, big, big setting right here. Bigger than that first round playoff series, that's for sure. So if he's melting down in something like that, he's really going to have problems unless he's figured it out between his ears. I'm not confident that he has. So that's a massive hole to me. Now, do they have a second option? Jeremy Swayman got a big contract, has not been very good for the Bruins. Jake Ottinger, another guy, really struggled in pressure situations. So USA, to me, their biggest concern is goaltending. Not as big a concern as Canada, but sometimes if you're a team who's not expecting anything and you throw Aiden Hill in there and guy won Stanley Cup, he seemed to be able to handle pressure for Vegas, maybe that's just easier. Just play a no-name in there and it works better than what the United States has going. But USA and Canada, firepower is going to be hard to overcome. Again, the goaltending, an issue for Canada. Finland, who they'll go with in goal, I'm not really sure. I would say if I had to pick, to me, the Swedes are most likely the most stable in goal. They got Ullmark or Gustafsson. Probably Gustafsson's going to take it, which Penguin fans, God, probably should have never got rid of him. But That's what happens in salary cap era sports. So Gustafsson or Ullmark. Ullmark hasn't been great, but he's a veteran. He'll handle it pretty well. The Swedes, to me, have a massive advantage as their top pair defenseman. I think they're like a true pair that can kind of really cause problems for the other team and match up pretty well. Victor Hedman and Rasmus Dahlin. Now, the problem with these international tournaments is the Canada and the United States, they're loaded with three really good lines, really four really good lines. So getting Hedman and Dahlin against one, you're canceling out one set of forwards, but, you know, they have a lot of depth. So it may not matter there. And then as far as the chemistry goes for these teams, I think that Finland, to me, has the best team chemistry. I think they have the best center depth, at least in their top two, other than, I mean, I guess you can make the case that Canada and the United States are right there. But I like Finland's top two centermen in Barkov and Sebastian Aho. They will miss Miro Heiskanen on the blue line, that's for sure. The Dallas defenseman, super player. He's out for an extended period, might not even be back at all this year. So it's a big loss for him. But I really, really like the lines, the top three lines, really, of Finland. And Finland's a team, they just know how to play together. They're togetherness, even in their youth, in their under-20s, in their juniors, in their under-14 teams. Like, they just have a knack for playing Finnish-type hockey, and they all understand it. And that's why I think that they're a dangerous team. But Alexander Barkov, Arturi Lekkonen, and Mika Rantanen on the first line with Patrick Laine, Sebastian Aho, and Timo Teravainen as their second line. Those are two really good lines of guys who really complement each other really well. Rupi Hintz, Mikael Granlund, and Kaapo Kakko as their third line. Again, really, I'm a huge Rupi Hintz fan. He's a really good two-way player. So I like Finland in this. I think they can cause some problems. So we're going to take a shot. Can they hold up on the back line? I don't know. But something about these international tournaments brings out the best in the Finns. They put a lot into their program, and I think they see some payoffs here. So what we got here with our bets here at the Four Nations face-off here on Bettors Last Stand Show number 118. Again, this starts on Wednesday. We're going to go with Finland over 3.5 round-robin points. So that would be a win and a draw would get them a win and a tie. I guess we call them in hockey. It's not soccer. Finland over 3.5 points. I think they get the job done. I think they can beat Sweden. I think they can beat the United States. I think they can beat Canada. It's a pretty tough first game. So I think the United States plays them first. So I would not be overlooking Finland here. They're a team that could be very, very problematic. Maybe the USA just has too much firepower, but I think they can get a job done. I think they can get a tie and a win for the Finns. Canada, under 5.5 round-robin points. I can see Canada having maybe one win and then having a tie as well. I also think Sweden. I think Finland will beat Sweden, so I'm going to already think that Sweden's going to be up against it. I would pick them to finish last if I was going to pick. Now, that's not to say they're not a good team, but there's some guys on that team I don't trust. I don't like the depth of that team at all. Can their goaltending cover up for that? Possibly. Sweden under 4.5 round-robin points. I like the USA over 5.5. I think they're better than Canada. I think they're better than Sweden. I think they can win those two games, and then that would probably get them and the Finns, which play each other the first time. I think you could see a rematch of Finland and USA in the finals. Will it happen? I don't know, but that's what I'm trying to find here. I'm trying to find a little bit of value. I don't play Canada in these tournaments. They get bet down way too much. And they got a lot of pressure on them. I mean, they got Sidney Crosby, and they got great players. But the pressure from Canada is different than the pressure from the other countries. It's really not fair to the players. They'll be going nuts if they don't play very well the very first game. But will they be good enough? We'll see. Top point scorer in the tournament. I thought Patrick Laine made a lot of sense to me. Again, I love this line that he's on with Sebastian Aho and Teuvo Teravainen. Just it compliments you. They're really, really good. So take a shot. 40-1. That's a massive price. Obviously, your Connor McDavid's and your Austin Matthews are your favorites and stuff like that because they expect Canada and the United States to go very far. But I like Laine at 40-1. Top goal scorer for Finland. I also go with Laine. Top point scorer for Finland, Patrick Laine. Top point scorer for Canada, Cale Makar. I think he's going to be the safest play there because he's going to be moving the puck. He's going to carry the puck a ton. He's going to be out there on power play. He's just going to be quarterbacking the offense all the time. Whereas if you have matchups that aren't working out for your top line pairs, if you're going to, you know, if you're going to take a shot on a Connor McDavid or something like that, like I just feel like matchups could work against you. And Nathan McKinnon on the same line, I mean, it's terrifying. But if you get him going up against, you know, Victor Hedman and Rasmus Dahlin, like they can kind of they can hold those guys at bay. So I think Makar is the safer bet there. He's going to get a lot of puck touching, and he's not going to have to deal with the similar matchups when they're trying to, you know, snuff out one of the top lines, which I'm sure that every team's going to have to try to shut that line down. So you could look for the depth of the Canadians to show up if they're going to be, you know, in this tournament come the finals. Mika Zibanejad for Sweden, I thought he was interesting, 20-1 to be their top point scorer. He plays the power play really, really well. He's really good on the power play. If you watch him for the Rangers, I think they'll have to have him out there. Sweden's going to have to rely on special teams to score in this tournament, and I would say that Zibanejad's going to be a guy that's going to be out there and is going to be needed. So I think he can get a couple of extra points that way. And again, you're playing him on a line with Jesper Bratt and William Nylander. It's pretty good, and I expect him to be decent on even strength. But the good thing about Sweden is their top three line, well, their top two lines, basically they probably have two second lines, if you're going to say, with Forsberg, Pettersson, and Raymond as their second line. Bratt, Zibanejad, Nylander. There's like 1A and 1B. So maybe you got to pick your spots there if you're the other team. So I think Zibanejad could get some extra points there, especially on the power play. So we'll go with him at 20-1 to lead Sweden in points. Top point scorer for the USA. Going to take a hunch on this one. And you may want to play him just for goals. But Kyle Connor, I think this guy is really good. He's a really good goal scorer. He's going to be playing with Austin Matthews and Jack Hughes. Now, Matthews, you would think, would take the brunt of the attention on that line, centering the second line. But I think Connor can get some goals. He's a really good goal scorer, and I like what I see out of him, and I think he's a good line mate. So we'll take a shot with him for the United States. So again, my bets here, Finland over 3.5 points in the round robin portion, Canada over under 5.5 in the round robin portion, Sweden under 4.5 points in the round robin, USA over 5.5 in the round robin. Top point scorer in the tournament, Patrick Laine. Top point scorer for Finland, Patrick Laine. Top point scorer for Canada, Cale Makar. Top point scorer for Sweden, Mika Zibanejad. And top point scorer for the United States, long shot there with Kyle Connor. So it should be a good one. Four Nations Cup starts next week on Wednesday. They'll play round robin games, I think, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, or Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, I think. And then they'll go and play. I think there's some on Monday. I think it finishes the following Thursday will be the final. So we'll talk a little bit about it next week, see how it's progressing for us, but I think Finland maybe can play spoiler in there a little bit, but we shall see. Nice to have international hockey, although I wish the Russians and at least the Czechs were in there. Probably the Slovaks, too, would make for a little bit better tournament as we roll on here. Bettors Last Stand, show number 118 on the Watchdog Radio Network, getting you ready for a fabulous weekend. It's Super Bowl weekend. It's OVAC girls basketball weekend. You got lots here on the docket for the next couple of days, so hopefully you're enjoying it and getting ready for a action-packed weekend. Few things going on in the world of sports. Bad beats, didn't specify anything too much here. Dallas Maverick fans, for the long term, losing Luka, that's a killer for you. My apologies for sure. Kansas +2 against Baylor. Boy, if you had this one, I was on Baylor there, and I had it marked as a loser. They led Kansas led 40-21 at Baylor at halftime on Saturday. They would be outscored 60-30 in the second half, so they didn't even come close to covering. They were +2. They lose by 11, 81-70 in the final there. So if you had Kansas, condolences. But we had Baylor. Hopefully you followed the picks on BLS_PRP and had Baylor as well. Some things going on in the industry. Boy, lots of strange stories. Not necessarily strange, but stories that make you say, wow. What would happen if we didn't have regulated sports betting? How many illegal activities would we be having here? Well, the answer is a lot. So for years and years, these things went on. Nobody knew about them because it was illegal. And nobody was going to be able to blow the whistle because there was nothing protecting it. So now you have all these firms protecting the integrity of sports. But you got a lot of things that people are trying to do. People are trying to get devious here. And they're really stupid for some of the things that they did. And remember, we will catch you. If you continue to try to do this, you will be caught. So word is, don't do it, or you better have a better plan to not make it look so obvious. After a lengthy appeals process, Major League Baseball umpire Pat Hoberg has been fired for violating the MLB gambling policy. Commissioner Manfred said there's no evidence to suggest that Hoberg directly bet on games or manipulated outcomes. I didn't see any of that evidence. If you had that evidence, you didn't show it. You didn't present it. I'm not saying that he did, but I'm not saying that he didn't. MLB stated Hoberg failed to uphold the integrity of the game by sharing a sports betting account with a friend who's a professional poker player. They met, they played golf together. I don't know how they became so close, but they did. The account was used to bet on baseball. Now, Hoberg says that was his buddy that bet on the baseballs. How can we prove that? We don't know. Hoberg and his friend opened a legal sports betting account in Iowa, where Hoberg lives, in 2019, in which Hoberg had his friend place non-baseball bets for him at first and eventually gave Hoberg the login so that Hoberg could bet himself when the friend was not in the state of Iowa. After the friend was contacted by Major League Baseball investigators, he immediately deleted all accounts and communications between the two men. Hoberg did the same. Some of the bets made on games that Hoberg umpired. So this is a little concerning. 8 bets on 5 games that he, and he was ahead on those games. So that's interesting. MLB went on to say that Hoberg should have known his friend was placing baseball bets on the account, despite claiming he wasn't aware of anything, of any wagers on baseball. Now, I find that very, very ironic. Shohei Ohtani had a guy impersonating him, so they claim, which we do have proof of that now, is they have recordings of Ipe impersonating him. But impersonating him, stealing money, betting on, and Ohtani was not on the hook to know about any of that. But Pat Hoberg was supposed to know that this guy was betting on baseball in an account which eventually was taken over by the friend, and Hoberg didn't end up using because he ended up creating his own. So there's a lot to this story. If you want to check it out, David Purdom, ESPN, one of the few ESPN people that are credible these days, ESPN Chalky does a good job with it. He explains it all. But I just find that very ironic, is they expect Hoberg to know that his friend was betting on baseball, but they didn't seem to care that Ohtani just turned a blind eye to millions upon millions of dollars being bet and stolen from him. That doesn't sit right with me. I still think there's a lot more to that Ohtani thing. Someday we'll find out that he was cheating too, but they aren't going to jeopardize the money of the game long term. So there you see another guy who's a lesser person fall victim in a different set of rules. But hopefully our new Justice Department will start taking care of things like that. These fallacies and these ridiculous outcomes, and, you know, it shouldn't be different justice for different people, that's for sure. Federal probe into multiple gambling incidents that could be related. This one, another big one. NBA and college hoops. We talked about all these in various forms. Now we find out that they might all be related. Astounding. That part really struck me last week when I saw this come out. So not only are we having this stuff happen, now we're having these conglomerates and syndicates out there working together, trying to find vulnerabilities. They found a couple of pros. They found 3 college teams. How many other people played ball with these guys? That's going to be played ball. Good term, I guess, for this. A gambling ring is currently under federal investigation for its roles in 2 NBA cases, the Jontay Porter and Terry Rozier, which we talked about here, as well as 3 known basketball cases involving college teams, North Carolina A&T, Mississippi Valley State, and Eastern Michigan, potentially back to last year's Temple fiasco as well, which hasn't been officially linked yet, but I saw several credible sources saying that it is being investigated as part of this. Multiple accounts showed larger than usual activity involving all 5 of these teams or players in question, including a large first half action on 3 of the college teams multiple times too. 5 men have been arrested and charged so far. Anwar Awada, Long Fee Pham, Pirates just signed Tommy Pham, Tim McCormack, Muhammad Mala, and Shane Hennon have all been arrested in involvement for involvement in this particular racket. So we don't know what all the details are. Can't wait to see them, but it doesn't look good for these guys. But hey, remember, we're out there to protect you. The lotteries and the gaming commissions, they're there. When we see things like this going on, that's the first call we're making. And we're finding out if other books in the state or the jurisdiction are taking the same stuff. If they are, then it's sound the alarms, and you will get caught. So don't be trying to mess with the integrity of the game. That's why we're doing this. You should be able to make a wager and not have to worry about someone cheating on the other side of that. That is very, very important. Ohio looking to up their betting tax to 40%. Oh boy, that could be bad. Be good for West Virginia businesses and West Virginia books, but for Ohio, could be a problem. Could filter down to the consumers. Pennsylvania, one of the highest taxes in all the land, I believe they were at 35. So 35 cents of every dollar, I think, goes to the gaming commissions of Pennsylvania. And Ohio looking to bump theirs to 40, according to Governor Mike DeWine. We'll see how that plays out in the coming months and years. Legal Sports Report forecasts that $1.5 billion will be wagered on the Super Bowl this weekend. 38 states plus D.C. active for those as far as legalized gambling goes. Ohio forecasted at $93.9 million. PA at $88.2 million. West Virginia at $5.47 million. And then the big dogs. New York, $183 million, that is. Not $1.83 million. Almost could be $1.83 billion, maybe. New York, $183 million. Nevada, $170 million. New Jersey, $147 million. In Illinois, $104 million. In 2018, we had just Nevada legal, if you can believe that. Now we got 38 jurisdictions. In 2019, we had 8, West Virginia. That was our first year over at Wheeling Island Hotel Casino Racetrack Sportsbook. 2020, we had 14 jurisdictions legal in the United States. In 2021, we had 20 legalized jurisdictions. 2022, there was 30. 2023, there was 33. Last year, 38. And once again, this year, 38. Patrick Mahomes, a guy you'll be gambling on this weekend. He's 9-1 straight up, 9-1 ATS as a playoff dog or favorite of -3 or less. Only loss, of course, we mentioned this last week, to Tom Brady, of all people. Imagine that. Basically passing the torch on. Even though Pat never beat him, he kind of passed the torch on and said, okay, I'm leaving. I'm going to Tampa. We'll beat you again in the Super Bowl. And then that's your turn. I'm out. And it's your turn. But we'll see how long it lasts. Hopefully it lasts one more week for our sake. Here's some big bets so far. $1.25 million on Kansas City Moneyline at Caesars. $800,000 on Philadelphia Moneyline at plus 110 at MGM. Same better took Philly for $300,000 in the first half minus a half. $320,000 on Kansas City Moneyline at BetMGM. $200,000 on the Eagles Moneyline at Caesars. I talked about these ones last week. $550 each on Jake Elliott and Harrison Bucker to win the MVPs. Both of those, if were to win, which you're going to only win one of them, I doubt they'd have two kickers be co-MVPs. Wouldn't that be something? They kick six apiece, and that's the only scores in the game. Maybe one of them would have had to kick seven, I guess. $550,000 those tickets would pay. $22,000 on no safety at minus 1,100 from Dwayne Colucci at the Rampart. $83,000. Dollars on no player to have a rushing and receiving touchdown at Bet Rivers. That's minus 835. It will only win back $10,000. So you're risking $83,000 to win just 10. Yeah, I don't know about that one. You could definitely see that happening. I'd be worried about Worthy as being a guy that could do that. Also, you know, you got AJ Brown, Smith. I suppose Barkley could take a screen pass and score. And yeah. So I would not feel real good about that one. $83,000 to only win $10,000. Ugh, that would have me in knots. $25,000 on Kelce to win Super Bowl MVP at 15-1 at MGM. $51,000 bet on no octopus minus $3,335 to win back just $1,530. That's insane to me because this is an octopus game too. You got Jalen Hurts. I mean, he had an octopus in the Super Bowl a couple years ago against Kansas City. He ran in a touchdown, then he ran in the two. Travis Kelce's a guy that would be an octopus guy. Barkley, I mean, you got guys that are live for the I mean, Worthy's another guy. He could catch a long one, and then they could do an end around for him. I would not feel good about that bet. Octopus would be a real worry for me, and no safety or no player to score receiving and rushing touchdown. That would worry me quite a bit. I can't believe people make those. Most popular bet, of course, Saquon Barkley, anytime touchdown. That thing's now touching minus 215. We're getting just bombarded with that money. So we need Saquon to not score in that game. That is for sure. All right. Let's get back to business here. Bettors Last Stand Show number 118 here on the Watchdog Network, getting you ready for a action-packed weekend. Again, OVAC basketball all day tomorrow right here on Watchdog Network, along with the Mountaineers as well, as they will be hosting Utah on Saturday afternoon. Okay, so we went through things going on in the world of sports betting. Now it's time to get back into some of the games. Let's get into the soccer action. We don't have any Premier League this week. Premier League boys are off. But we do have some FA Cup. So these are the divisions of English soccer. You have several different tiers. These can be from the lowest all the way up. All the teams participate. So it'd be like if Warwood had a team, Elm Grove, Triadelphia, they all had teams. then they were getting ready to play like Manchester United. Like that's what it's like. You got these little tiny towns competing against the big boys, and they knock each other out, and we go along. So Millwall and Leeds on a Saturday morning. This will be a 7:15 kick, and I like this game under 2.5, two lower scoring teams. Leeds a solid team, probably going to be back up for a potential promotion, but that recently relegated from the Premier League. So Leeds would have the advantage there to minus 230 on the money line. I wouldn't mess with that. I'd be going under the three. If you get three, take the three. Under three in that match, I think, is a good one. Manchester City at Leyton Orient. Manchester City, they got a lot of things on their docket here, though, in the coming days. Manchester City, fortunately, through to the knockout round of the Champions League. And they, you know, they have a matchup against Real Madrid this weekend, which is, yeah, I mean, this is a big, big match. So I'm not sure what Manchester City would be putting out here, but the good thing is for them is they have a lot of young talent that can still get the job done. Leyton Orient, this is a massive, massive jump up. They're plus 2,100 on the money line. City minus 1,300. I'm going to go over three here. I think City will probably score three or four themselves, maybe even lay 2.5. I don't like doing that. I like playing it overs in these types of games where they're lopsided. I just don't want to lay a ton of goals because you just don't know. I mean, City could be winning the game 5-1 and Orient gets two late ones or something. So you don't want to take the chance there. So we'll go over the three in City and Leyton Orient. Burnley at Southampton. Southampton minus 140. Burnley plus 370. I like Burnley in this game. Burnley, again, a freshly relegated team in the championship. Not bad. They're unbeaten in their last 18. I mean, they're playing good football. So I'm going to take a shot with Burnley. Won't play them to win outright at the plus 440, but I'll take them to win or draw. I like that a lot. I think both teams will score in this game as well. So I think at least a 1-1 there, but I like Burnley probably to win this game 2-1 against Southampton. Ipswich and Coventry. These matches all Saturday until I say otherwise. Ipswich at Coventry. Coventry plus 245. Ipswich plus 130. Both teams have scored in this fixture 6 of the last 7 times. I like the over 2.5 here. I also like both teams to score. Ipswich playing pretty decent. Not sure how they'll be on the road, but Coventry, they're a little sloppy, so I think they'll give up some goals. So we'll go over 2.5 and both teams to score. Bournemouth, they've won the last 3 against Everton. I like Bournemouth or draw here. Bournemouth was up against it last week. We had them last week, and they ran into a buzzsaw with Liverpool, who's clearly the best team in the Premier League. But Bournemouth, their form has been awesome prior to that game. I think they can come in and win this game. So I like them at around plus 140, plus 145. If you want to throw in the draw as well, go ahead. You'll still probably get right around maybe minus 105 or even money, hopefully, on Bournemouth to beat Everton on Saturday morning. Cardiff and Stoke. 7 of the last 8 in this fixture have had both teams score. Stokes won the last 4 at home against Cardiff, so possibly a little lean to Stoke at plus 110. They're a small favorite. Cardiff plus 230. I think both teams to score is the safest here. This has 1-1 draw written all over it. Wycombe Wanderers and Preston. I like Preston here, plus 120 at home. I think they can get the job done if they put the clamps on Wycombe. And despite 3 of the last 5 going over in this fixture, but they haven't played since 2021, so I don't think it really applies here. So we'll go under 3 with Preston and Wycombe. And then our final match, 3 p.m. on Saturday, Chelsea and Brighton. These two Premier League teams, Brighton plus 190, Chelsea plus 130, the road favorite there. I like both teams to score here. Both teams have scored in 9 of the last 10 meetings between the Blues and the Seagulls. So we'll go with both teams to score in that one. Sunday action here in the English FA Cup. It's Wolves at Blackburn. Blackburn plus 385. Wolves, a minus 150 road favorite. I don't know if I can take a chance with Wolves. They're so Jekyll and Hyde. The Blackburn Rovers, though, haven't beaten Wolves, I don't believe, since 2010, so that's a little concerning. Blackburn, a team who used to be up in the Premier League, but it's been several years. We're going to go under 3 in this matchup. I think this is a lower scoring game. I think Wolves probably wins it, but it's probably something like 2-0. I can see a 1-1 draw here, too. Liverpool at Plymouth. Liverpool minus 650, plus 1425 on Plymouth. No chance I'm playing this. I'd lean to the over if I was going to do anything here, over 3.5 in that match. Spurs and Aston Villa, an FA Cup match, a London derby, two Premier League teams. Villa minus 125, Spurs plus 295. I like the over here, 5 of the last 6 over in this derby, and both teams can score. We talked about Spurs, and I kept it under last week somehow, but I like Villa to score at least 1 or 2, and I think Spurs will probably get 2. So maybe a small lean to Villa or to Spurs. I think Villa's hitting the downward trajectory now, which is a concern if you're a Villa person, especially since you got European matches to worry about. And then Monday, the final FA Cup game we have, Crystal Palace, -410 on the road at Doncaster, +925. Six straight unders in this fixture. I imagine Palace will probably shut out Doncaster. Palace, very good defensively as far as responsibilities go in their defense. So I like them. They're playing pretty well right now. I'd play Crystal Palace -1.5, maybe even Crystal Palace to win 2-0. Those are our FA Cup matches for this weekend. With no EPL, we have to focus on the some of the lower league teams that are mixed in with the Premier League teams as well. So you can find those at BLS_PRP as we roll along here. Bettors Last Stand show number 118 here on the Watchdog Network on a Friday. Getting ready for Super Bowl weekend. We're going to talk Super Bowl here momentarily. Just bear with me a few more minutes and we'll be all in on the Super Bowl action. Again, to remind you, 69-43 and three runs, 61% over the last month. We're up 50.95 units in the Premier League. Champions League knockout stage, it starts on Tuesday. Man, this is exciting. So they each play a home and away leg. So you got PSG at Brest, and then they'll flip it the following week and they'll reverse it. So the PSG's at Brest, matchup of two French teams. And then next week, it'll be PSG with the host, or will host Brest. So PSG, they take on Monaco on Friday, which is today. They're playing them right now. And I don't know how they're going to come out of that match, but this match means a lot more than that one's going to. PSG in a pretty good spot in the French League 1, and they should be good. They've gotten points in the last 20 games against Brest. The -260, I mean, it's hard not to play PSG, but I like the over here. A lot of times these first legs, you won't see goals, but I think in PSG's case, I think they're going to be coming out gunning a little bit. And if they score a little bit early, Brest is going to have to push back. So we're going to go over 3 in Brest and PSG on Tuesday, February 11th, in the UEFA Champions League knockout stage, leg number 1. Borussia Dortmund, they will take on Sporting Lisbon. That is at Lisbon, so in Portugal. So Dortmund makes the trek down to Portugal. They play Stuttgart on Saturday. That's the 5th team in the Bundesliga. So not an easy match there. So you got Sporting, who has a big match against one of their rivals, Porto, on the weekend. So I thought this lended itself to an under. I thought two pretty challenging games, so I'm going to go under 3 here. We're also going to go with a draw. I think a draw could definitely be in the cards. I know Dortmund would love a draw here because if they can get this taken back to their home field where they have a tremendous home field advantage, they could be 1-1 going home against Lisbon. I think they would really fancy their chances to advance. Real Madrid and Manchester City. What a colossal clash this is. This is something you would expect to see in the semifinals or the finals of the Champions League, but it's Real Madrid at City in the first leg. City +140-ish. And Real Madrid, the defending champions, again at +175-180 range. I like Real Madrid here. I'd play Real Madrid or draw again. If Real Madrid can draw in this match, they'll feel very good about going home to the Santiago Bernabeu next week to host Manchester City, who's not been in great form. I know they've been playing a little bit better, but I don't know. The one concern that I have is Madrid has a massive, massive derby against Atletico Madrid on Saturday. Will that wear them out? I don't know. I think there'll be some goals here. Manchester City has not been able to hold a lead at all, so we're going to go over 3. We're going to go with Madrid or draw in that one. PSV Eindhoven at Juventus. Juventus -118. PSV +335. PSV has a very easy matchup against Willem on Saturday. Should be an easy win. Juventus plays Como on Friday. Should be a very, very easy win. But Juventus' form has not been very good. So I'm going to go with a little bit of an upset here. We're going to go with PSV Eindhoven, the Dutch team, to come in here and either get a draw or a victory on the road in Juventus. Juventus has not been, it's just been very, very suspect. I know the old lady, everybody loves the old lady in the Champions League. That's what they call Juventus. They've been around forever. You know what you're getting from the old lady, but this year's not been like that. So we're going to go under 3. We're going to go with PSV to win or draw. Wednesday's matchups in the Champions League. Atalanta at Club Brugge. Club Brugge +260. Atalanta around an even money favorite here on the road. They are at Verona on Saturday. Not going to be much of a challenge there. The 14th team in Serie A. And then Club Brugge, they play Leuven, who's the 10th team in their league. Won't be a problem there. Bruges, very tough at home. I think both teams score in this game for sure. I like over 2.5 as well.
Atlanta, early on we were tipping them to be an under team. Well, they've picked it up now a little bit more offensively, not been as good on defense. Club Brugge had a ton of chances against City, just couldn't finish. I think they finished a few of them here. I would lean Brugge in the game, but we're going to go with both teams to score in over 2.5, Brugge and Atlanta. Also Wednesday, Benfica at Monaco. Monaco plus 135. The favorites plus 185 for Benfica. Benfica at Morens on Saturday. Shouldn't be a big deal for them. I think they'll win. I'm sure they host Morens. Monaco is at number one, PSG. We talked about that. Big game for Monaco, but I don't know if Monaco thinks they can even catch PSG. So you may see Monaco kind of just play possum in that game and get ready for this game against Benfica. Hate Portuguese teams all around. I tell you, I can never figure them out. Benfica on the road here. I can't take a shot with them. I would lean that way, but I can't take a shot with them. I'm going to go with both teams to score. They played each other in the qualifying round in the group stage. Benfica won the game 3-2. I was on the road. Can they duplicate it? I don't know. Goals look like they could be aplenty, so maybe an over, but we're going to go with both teams to score. Small lean to Benfica, but I can't pull the trigger. I just can't trust Portugal teams on the road. Bayern Munich at Celtic. Big matchup here. Again, Bayern Munich, a team you would have expected to have a bye, but they're minus 280 on the road against Celtic, plus 682 on Celtic on the return. Celtic hosts Dundee this weekend. Shouldn't be a problem. Werder Bremen will visit Bayern Munich. Shouldn't be a problem for them, as that game, I believe, going on right now. I like both teams to score here. Celtic's never beaten Bayern Munich. They're probably not going to do it here. I think both teams score, but I could see this game being like 3-1 Bayern Munich. Probably an over game if I was going to guess, but you never know. We'll have to depend on Celtic to score one at home. I think they'll want to get at least one for their fans because it's probably going to be their last home game in the Champions League this season. AC Milan and Feyenoord. Feyenoord plus 190. Milan the 140 or plus 140 favorite on the road here as they head into the Netherlands. Now, Feyenoord's been a team that's impressed me a little bit. They've been able to play low-scoring games, and they've also been able to score. So they kind of have both sides, and they have the ability to do both. AC Milan, they'll take on Empoli on Saturday on the road. Shouldn't be a match of any concern for them. They're the 16th-ranked team in Serie A. And then Feyenoord plays Sparta, who's very poor, on Saturday. I don't think that'll be a problem. I'm going to go with Feyenoord, though. I think Feyenoord will draw at home. I think they got a shot here in this game. I think they can score a few goals. And I don't think AC Milan gets more than one. So we're going to go under three in the game and hope that Feyenoord can shut them out 2-0. We'll see if that can happen. But I like Feyenoord. I've been a little bit impressed with how they've played so far. A couple of look-ahead spots here to win it all. I thought Real Madrid was interesting at 7-1. They got a tough road to navigate, so it would be a little concern there. Thought Inter at 14-1 and Atletico at 18-1. Also, if you're going to take a really big long shot here, I thought Lille at 50-1. They already have a bye. I like their potential matchups in the second round. And then PSV at 100-1. Can they get it started here with the win on the road at the Old Lady on Tuesday? Not sure, but I thought some of these were intriguing to me at decent prices because I'm not playing Liverpool at 2-1. They're probably the best team in England. Well, they are clearly the best team in England, but are they better than ours or better than Barcelona or Bayern Munich or Real Madrid? I'm not so certain about that yet, so I can't play them at 2-1, just 4-1. Can't do it. Real Madrid to make the final 4-1. Inter at 6, Atletico at 7-1, Lille at 20-1, PSV at 33-1. Thought there was a little bit of value there. Possible round of 16 matchups. Liverpool or Barcelona will play either Brest, PSG winner, or the Monaco, Benfica, Arsenal, or in Inter Milan will play either the Juventus, PSV, Feyenoord, or AC Milan, while Lille or Aston Villa will play either Bruges, Atalanta, Sporting, or Borussia Dortmund, and Atletico or Bayern Leverkusen will take on either City, Real Madrid, Celtic, or Bayern Munich. Hard to forecast these without knowing who's going to play who. But those are some of the teams that I thought were worth a little bit of a sniff there in the futures markets on the Champions League side of things here. As you can follow all those BLS_PRPs where you want to be for the picks and the prognostications of anything that I don't get to in the show or had time-sensitive material, anything of that nature, you will be able to catch on BLS_PRP. All right, time to shift over. It's Super Bowl LIX 59. Hard to believe it's here already. Gave you out several plays that we had last week. I've not changed my stance on this game at all. I think Kansas City is the better team. I know Philadelphia is the better roster on paper, but better teams usually win Super Bowls, not necessarily better rosters. You could argue San Francisco had a better roster against Kansas City both times, and they came out with losses. 49, now I did say, I will say, and it's still a little bit early. I recommended that people wait on if they were going to bet the under, because I thought this number was going to go up, but it actually went down in a lot of spots. So 48.5, we got some 49 flats out there. I thought this would be at 50, so that's what I was thinking about. But it hasn't moved yet. But it, like I say, there's still some big money still to come in on this game. So potentially, public gets involved, jacks it up to 50, and we go with the under then. So I'm going to be on the under. I'm going to be on Kansas City for sure. Going through last week's card of bets that I gave out, these were all posted at BLS underscore PRP. MVP bets, we were on Xavier Worthy, 50-1. We're on Hollywood Brown, 90-1. We're on George Karloftis, 150-1 on him. Nick Bolton at 200-1. Harrison Butker at 250-1. Trent McDuffie at 300-1. Justin Reed at 500-1. And Drew Tranquil at 1,000-1. Those were our MVP bets. Early best bets from last week. I'll recap these as well. No score in the first 5:59 of the game. We're going under 50. We're going the first half under 24.5. I have under 50 written down because I got an under 50, if you can believe it. I don't know how that was like a really, really like lucky moment, because that I bet it didn't stay on 50 for more than 20 minutes. But we got that luckily. Eagles first drive results. I have a missed field goal at 25-1. So we'll take a shot with that one. Some of these, you know, you don't have to put a ton on these. Just a few bucks and you can get good returns. That's what we're trying to find. We're trying to find low risk, high reward bets out here that make a lot of sense. Most first downs in the game, Kansas City. Team with the longest drive in time, Kansas City. We're going with George Karloftis, 1+ sack. That was +110 last week when we bet. It's now up to +115. Eagles allowing 2.8 sacks per game, so I think Karloftis will play a big role in this. Juju Smith-Schuster over 24.5 receiving yards. Hollywood Brown over 38.5 receiving yards. Samaje Perine to at least have two receptions at +185. I like that one. Devontae Smith over 4.5 receptions. I think he gets a bulk of the targets. Butker, 2+ field goals made at -135. That now up to -160. So hopefully you bet that after last week's show. It's a lot much better price. We also have him to make three or more at +250. Butker, 8 points in the game or more. -120 now up to -145. So hopefully they lock that one in. 25-cent raise there. Justin Reed, 5+ tackles. Nick Bolton, 8+ tackles. The Chiefs scoring band between 21 and 30 points. +120, that one we locked in last week, in Kansas City to come from behind in the game and win at +160. Again, I talked about the schedule last week and how important it is, but I thought it needed to be recapped here on Bettors Last Stand Show 118 on the Watchdog Network. Eagles' best wins of the season. They beat Washington twice. They beat the Rams twice. They beat Green Bay twice. Bad losses. They lost to Atlanta. They barely beat New Orleans. They lost to Tampa. I mean, Tampa's not a terrible loss. Losing to the Falcons, inexcusable. Kansas City's best wins. They beat Baltimore. They beat Buffalo. They beat the Chargers twice. They beat the Houston Texans twice. They beat Denver once. They set their players against them the other time. They beat Tampa, which Philly couldn't. Bad losses for the Chiefs, none. They lost to the Bills. That is all. Elite quarterback play. I thought Philly 2-0 against Stafford. Stafford, they could have easily won. If they take care of the ball, Philly is out of this already. It's either the Rams or the Redskins in the championship game here. No question about it. They played good enough to win that game. Just the turnovers just killed them. Just absolutely killed them. And they were 2-1 against Jaden Daniels. He's really good. Chiefs 1-1 against Allen. They beat Lamar Jackson head-to-head. They beat Herbert two times, although after his playoff performance, probably nobody thinks he's elite. And they were 1-0 against Baker Mayfield. So, again, I think the Chiefs' resume is much, much better. Exact score. So, here's the new things that we added this week. These are added bets to our portfolio since last week's show. Exact score outcomes here. Again, throwing a few dollars on these. They're your big prices. The Chiefs to win 27-16 at 160-1. The Chiefs to win 23-16, 120-1. Chiefs to win 27-19, 160-1. The Chiefs to win 23-19, 170-1. The Chiefs to win 24-19, 140-1. The Chiefs to win 23-19. Again, I said that twice, 170-1. Chiefs win 24-20, 110-1. Chiefs win 24-16, 120-1. Chiefs, already said, Chiefs win 23-16. That's 120-1 also. And Chiefs win 23-21 and 160-1. Those are exact score outcomes. I also added over 3.5 total field goals in the game, +125. I like that one. There could be a few times where they don't have a choice but to send Jake Elliott out there, and I know Butker will make at least two, probably going to make more. Pacheco, 6-plus rushing attempts. I think Pacheco, he's getting forgot about a little bit here. I think he might get a couple. He's going to be jacked up here. He ran really well in this game last couple of years, so I think I like him here. I think he gets 7-8 carries at least. We're going to go with Pacheco with the longest rush, too. His rush over 8.5 yards. His longest rush over 8.5 yards. That's even money. And I think, again, they'll feed him. I think he'll get a nice 9 or 12-yard one and cash that one. Barkley's longest rush under 25.5. I think the Chiefs will bottle him up a little bit. Not saying he won't have a good game, but I don't think he'll get the giant chunks that he has against some other teams. Hurts to score 2 TDs. I thought that was a good price. Plus 550, because down on the goal line, they could do that stupid shove thing and get him in there. 2 TDs does not seem out of the realm of question for Jalen Hurts at all. Mahomes' longest completion, over 33.5 yards. I think he hits a big one. It's either going to be a Kelce run after catch, or it's going to be a Xavier Worthy or a Hollywood Brown down the field for, 45 yards or so. Karloftis over 0.25 sacks. So he doesn't even have to get the full sack. He can get a half of one at plus 105. I think that's really good. Octopus, yes. I talked about it earlier. That guy that bet that massive amount of money, it was, let me go back and look at this, because it was a ridiculous bet on the Octopus. And we had somebody bet no Octopus for $51,000 to win just $1,530. I think that's insane. I think Octopus is very much in play. Hurts is an Octopus machine. You got Barkley, you got Kelce, you got Worthy, you even got Mahomes. That's not out of the realm because he can run. He's a good runner. So I think Octopus, yes, at 12-1 makes a little bit of sense. Here's one that I'm really going. These are a couple really longer shot ones right here that I like to take a shot with. And I've done all right on these in past years. We had the Nick Bolton a couple years ago. If he doesn't get that touchdown call back his second one, he has 2 pick-sixes and they win the Super Bowl. Nick Bolton would have been MVP. It would have been a massive, like, 350-1 ticket. So we were right there to cash out one. Jalen Watson to record a sack. I think you'll find between 12 and 15-1 on this. Now, this is a guy who's just coming back to health. He's a corner. But Spagnuolo dials up some interesting things in these Super Bowls, and you're going to see a situation where somebody from that secondary is coming. I think it'll be Jalen Watson. He's had some sacks in the past, especially in some big games. A couple of one-possession games against New England a few years back, a game against Miami that was a one-possession game, had a critical sack. So I think at a big time, you could see Jalen Watson get that sack at 15 to 12 to 1 range, somewhere in there. So we'll take a shot with that. Mahomes to be the leading rusher. Now, this one will need a lot of work. But if the Chiefs were able to get up to an early lead and bottle up Barkley a little bit, which is going to be hard to do, I could see a situation where Kansas City's just milking the clock. Mahomes is taking his 6 and 7 yards at a time. If he doesn't see something immediately on the read, he's just tucking it. He's going. I could see him racking up some yards. 25-1, it pays. Probably not going to happen, but just a little bit of a hunch if the game played out right. And also Pacheco to lead the game in rush yards, 15-1. He was the best running back out there last year, so could he duplicate that? He has not been very good up to this point, but, sometimes guys return to form in the biggest games, and we'll see if Pacheco can maybe do that. So, again, all these bets posted at BLS_PRP. I went through the breakdown last week where I thought Kansas City had advantages in the coaching area, the quarterback, the tight end. I thought their center is better, special teams was better, defensive line was better, linebackers were better since injury especially. Corners and safeties were pretty much a wash, and I thought Philly had the advantage in the running back, at the wide receiver depth, the tackles for sure, and the guards. But it was a 9-6 tally in favor of Kansas City. Kansas City has the more impressive wins this year. They've beaten the better quarterbacks. They've only lost one game, and it was the Buffalo. I don't know. I just haven't believed in the Eagles. Like, I'm not saying that the Eagles have a really talented roster, but Mahomes has had a lot of success against Vic Fangio in the past. I'm not sold on Sirianni at all. He could have a blunder. Philly's got the better roster. If the better roster is going to win, then it'll be Philly. But if the better quarterback coach combo, you got Spagnuolo on the, I mean, you got a lot of good things there if you're Kansas City, and you have the experience factor. They know how to win these tight games, and they get the job done. So no reason to go anywhere else there for me. So I'm on the Chiefs. I'm on the under in the game. That'll be against the grain, although the number doesn't say that. So I'm thinking you're seeing sharp money coming in on this under, and that's why that number's staying down. So I like the under, though. As I went through my scores and what I think this game is right around the low 40s in the scorings. Chiefs to score somewhere between the 21 and 30 ranges. I gave that one out last week. And we'll see. And I think that the Eagles, maybe the most that they get into games, probably 21-ish. But we shall see. Chiefs will control the clock, I think, and handle the ball quite a bit. And hopefully that leads to a Chiefs and an under. Regardless of how I play it, best of luck to you. Again, you can find all my plays, BLS_PRP, on X. Everything's there, our golf, our soccer, our hockey, a little bit of everything there. So enjoy your weekend. Have a safe and wonderful Super Bowl party or whatever it is you're going to do. If you're going out, if you're staying in, nonetheless, eat well, drink well, be safe, enjoy the game, win some bets, and we will talk to you next week on Bettors Last Stand. That'll be show number 119. We'll recap the Super Bowl and be charging full speed ahead into hockey and basketball and soccer and all the other things. NASCAR, Daytona 500 next week. So that's great. Golf back in action with the big Waste Management. So again, don't forget about the Waste Management. Watch that up until the Super Bowl. It'll give you something to get your mind off the Super Bowl for a couple minutes to get you ready to go. OVAC basketball all day tomorrow here on the Watchdog Network. We are your home for all five girls championship games in the OVAC. Don't want to miss those. WatchdogNetwork.com is where you want to be. If you're on the road, wherever you're at, you can follow us at WatchdogNetwork.com. Follow us, the Pine Room guys, at the Pine Room Studios. You can go on our YouTube page, Pine Room Studios. You can go to our website, PineRoomStudios.com. Check out all the latest things we got going on in our shows and our platforms. You can also go WatchdogNetwork.com and WatchdogWV on Twitter and X for all updated things regarding the Watchdog Radio Network. Again, have a wonderful weekend. Thanks to our Watchdog team, Coach Heinerman and Ross, doing the games out there, as well as some of our Pine Room guys. And thanks again to Kayleen and Rocky and Bob and Howard and Lola and everybody here at the Watchdog Network for making it happen here. And Jubb, our station manager, taking care of all the things every single day. There's something happening. There's something changing down here at the Watchdog Network. So hopefully you're on board with us, and we continue to try to provide a service to the Ohio Valley, from football on to basketball. And before you know it, it'll be into the spring. Again, have a wonderful Super Bowl weekend. Enjoy your time with family and friends. Go Chiefs and go under. That's what I'll be cheering for. Hopefully we can get a few winners in there as well for you. So again, BLS_PRP is where you can find all of my picks from the Super Bowl and other games throughout the weekend. Till next week, again, have a great weekend, everybody. Best of luck. Enjoy the Super Bowl, and we'll see you back here on the Watchdog Network for Bettors Last Stand, show number 119, and next week. Have a great weekend, everybody.